Welcome to this episode of Cutting Through the Noise. I'm your host, Hayley Mears, and today I'm sitting down with Natalie Chadwick. She's the creative director of CPR Hair, and she is the life force behind all of the driving innovation that you are probably seeing across your social channels all the time from the CPR brand. We're going to explore everything that she has done to implement innovation and build a really sustainable work environment and really beautiful culture for the CPR brand. So let's dive in. So I would love to kind of speak to you, and you can tell me if this isn't what you want to talk about.
Yeah.
But you always have ideas. Like, there's just a never-ending abundance of concepts.
I'm ready to talk about that.
And then you actually execute the vision that's the strongest, and that's the point of difference that I've noticed in the work that you do for the brand, is like you can be really agile and go, okay, I've got this idea, let's not wait, let's actually do it now. Am I right in saying that?
Yes.
Because I can see that there's an opportunity, and you've really leveraged that to scale the brand very, very quickly. It's a blessing and a curse, you know, like noticing all of the things, all of the things,
yes.
Good and bad.
Yes, I hate that as well. I feel like I have that superpower, and it is a bit frightening, especially for people that you know really well. Because when you know someone really well and you're intuitive to their what's going on or emotions or something, it actually really hurts. So you take it all on, you get teary and emotional in front of people. I cried at the AHIA many a time because I can feel the anxiety from all of those hairdressers, and I know what they're going through. And, you know, I've been through that before in my music career, so I know how it feels to be waiting to be that winner of an award and to not receive it, and the disappointment and the afterwards. And I'm such a sorry person. Tabitha taught me one thing last year: stop saying sorry. You are not sorry. You do not need to be sorry for other people's, you know, emotions or their things. It's not you. You haven't done it to them. Like, I know, but I feel sorry.
But also, like, you know what? Like, picking up on, here's the thing about having that gift, is that sometimes the people around you don't know that you have it, right?
Yeah.
So they're actually not aware that you've picked up on it. And I had a situation very recently where I picked up on a situation, and the people around me thought I hadn't, right?
Yes.
And it was kind of insulting because it was like,
come on, guys.
Guys, I'm very aware that like I am the topic of the glances that you're sharing with each other. And
oh, shit.
Yeah. And I was like, is it that I'm that? It to me felt very obvious.
Yeah.
But I thought, no, they think that I don't know. Wow.
Mm.
So it's such a double-edged sword. But actually, isn't that better that at least I know the authenticity?
Yeah, it's also a fine line, though, isn't it, between like being intuitive and then having a little bit of, what is it called when you're feeling really, not anxious, but you're feeling really like...
Would you say heightened?
Yeah, no, I'm thinking like more... I can't think of the word, but it basically means that you're worrying about nothing.
Oh,
It is a fine line, right?
Yeah,
you think people are really like, you know, all feeling a certain way, and then it's not that at all. I do this all the time with event planners, actually, even for this event. Adam is like the most intuitive person, but not only is he intuitive, he actually must have the kindest heart that there ever has been, because he thinks of every single scenario, every detail, everything that, you know, could possibly happen. He's like, oh no, I've got this for that. Oh great. You thought of that already?
Yeah.
So it is.
But you know what, also the situation I just explained, that kind of happened for a reason, like everything in life. And I was thinking about it last night, and I thought, because my daughter came to me and said, at school, these kids make fun of me, and this is how I felt. And I'm like, But Billy, like, you've had this amazing run at, like, started year seven, and I'm like, are you really going to let that one thing, like, destroy the amazing 2 weeks that you've just had?
Yes.
And then I went, oh, Hayley, you just did exactly what your child does.
Like, yeah.
So like, that was the lesson, right?
Yeah.
You told her, just let this shit go.
Yes.
You're not letting it go.
Yeah, yeah. There's actual so much joy in letting things go. My wife actually says that I'm the best person at this. Like, I do not hold a single grudge, like, not a single thing with anyone, because I've moved on already.
Yeah.
I'm on to the next big thing, so I don't have time to hold grudges or get upset or...
Yeah.
There's just, I guess, no time and space in my life for holding on to things.
For that kind of shit, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so can you tell me about the planning for Salon Forum 2026, what that has looked like from inception to birth?
Inception to birth, yes. Okay, so I think in the infancy of Salon Forum, like the very first Salon Forum, the very first idea, the pitch to the board, you know, to Cass, is really all about bringing the community together.
Yeah.
Every time. So last year we were saying, you know, I made the change, and, you know, getting everybody on board to make changes, whether it be in their personal life, their career, their salon, their team. I made the change, make the change, you know. And this year it's been all about choosing courage over comfort. So I feel like the only option in planning for me was to choose something courageous, to really go out of the box and be like, okay, where can I take this community where they're not just going to be spoken to by incredible guest speakers, but they're actually going to have something change their lives, you know, whether that be that they can't find the place and it's a disaster, whatever, whether it be that they fall off the kayak and they're in the water, or, you know, it's freezing cold Tasmanian water, or whatever, you know, their whole journey or their whole life is going to be affected and memorable from this exact existence of this place. So when coming up with the idea, it wasn't about what can we do, it was about how can we affect these people in the best possible way and make them choose courage over comfort in this environment, so that when they do go back to the salon, they remember and they feel that feeling of like, I really did that. I went in a glamping tent. I left the heater on all night and I woke up boiling hot, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah. I showered in an outdoor shower in the open paddocks, watching sheep, watching my hair with CPR put off.
I love the amount of authenticity and purpose, and like, you've really gone deep. That's not a superficial
no.
Concept, and it never is. Mm. But you know, sometimes you don't really understand the core of where, you know, the concept and the thing comes from. So
yes,
that's pretty great that you've unpacked that.
Mm. Yeah, it's definitely, and you know, there's only a few venues that you can take, you know, hundreds of people to. So it's actually quite limited. And when I went to this website, and one of the slogans is, it's not the ordinary. And I was like, right, I think this feels like it's it.
Yeah.
And I hadn't even dug deep into it yet. I watched a video on Spring Bay Mill, and you know, the farm to plate, the, you know, planting the trees, the ecosystem, how it's affected Tasmania as a whole on the level of sustainability was incredible. The architecture here was just so beautiful. I have these moments of what I call purple patches. I don't know if you know that term.
No.
But when you're a songwriter, we call purple patch is when you're like writing, you know, 10 songs in a week. And it's
right,
like,
creatively.
The creative magic comes. It could be at midnight. It could be in the car. It's really, most of the time, a very inconvenient time. The kids can be there. You have to start singing the melody in the phone. And it's really inconvenient, always inconvenient. 3 a.m. car rides, when you don't have a pen and paper, is mostly when it all comes. So I call them purple patches, and for creative director of CPR, I have the same thing happen, but not for songs, obviously, for ideas. And so it really does come down to magic. And I'm not witchy woo woo at all. I don't believe in star signs. Well, I mean, I don't know what I believe in, but I believe in everything.
Yeah,
anything's possible, right? So I call it a purple patch. And every year when I get that 3 week, we take 3 weeks off at Christmas, so everyone has 3 weeks off. And I get that 3 weeks off, and those still quiet moments, it all comes flooding in, and it really annoys me, actually, because I'm meant to be on holiday and I've got all this stuff coming into my mind. Oh my gosh, imagine if we did this for Salon Forum. And I'm talking 2027 now, you know, so it's a year ahead that in my holiday season I'm thinking about 2027. So that's why when I get back into work and I'm on the social, I'm like, guess what, gosh, you'll never believe where 2027 Salon Forum is. And, you know, I already have these ideas coming and flowing through the holidays. So yeah, I call them the purple patches.
I definitely know what you mean. Like, when the creativity just kind of descends on you and you're just kind of making your way through it all and navigating it and trying to lean into it. You're being at times.
Yes.
I think, do you find creativity comes in flow? I mean, it's what you've just described. And I think when it happens to me, I have to lean into it, and the struggle that comes with that is I'm probably supposed to be doing other work, but I know if I stop this creative thought process and don't get it all out, it doesn't actually come back. I can't just re-tap into it and the ideas don't continue to flow. So whatever I'm supposed to be doing has to be parked immediately so that I can get that out.
Yeah.
Do you have that?
Well, yeah, but we have... Well, I mean, when I say we, I'm talking like music now, but I've got to get back into Hair Mind. I have these moments that we call the black book. So if you're having a creative moment and you don't have, because a lot of the time, like I said, it's always inconvenient times. You don't have the time, you don't have a pen, you don't have something. You write down the three, like into your phone, whatever.
Yeah.
Write down the three keywords that the creative idea is around. So for me, if it was, I want to choose courage over comfort, I want to take these people to Spring Bay Mill or somewhere out in the outback where they have to really, you know, choose courage to get out of bed and go to a shower and, you know, all these kind of things. You write down the three main points of what you want to achieve in that creative process. And then about 2 hours later, when you do have time, you sit there with those three words and then you start to write a gazillion words over a piece of paper that all relate to that those three words that you've written down, and it all comes flooding back.
Yeah.
So there are different ways, for me anyway. I mean, I don't know if that works for everybody.
Yeah.
But for me, there are different ways, and it's like the little black book. So you've got, you know, not your girlfriend's numbers in there. You've got, you've got all the creative moments, because it could, for me, like it could be like, you know, a line of something, like I made the change. That actually came to me in the middle of the night. So I'm like, I made the change, quick. You know, this year we've got this promotion for our BDMs called Break Up With The Brand. And I love this idea. And I was like, you know, I don't want this to be about breaking up with a boyfriend or a girlfriend in the visual, in the magic, in the actual what people are feeling in the emotive. I want it to be strong, independent women. And they're not, you know, wallowing in a breakup. They're like, I am going out there and I'm going to do my thing. I'm going to sit at a cafe. I'm going to sip lattes by myself. I'm going to people watch because I can.
Yeah.
And I've broken up with my brand, you know, like, you know, whatever the, yeah, I just feel like the narrative and the magic that we have to create for visuals or any industry that we're in, you know, like it's really comes like that in the middle of nowhere. So you've got a little black booklet.
I'd love you to share your CPR journey from start to now, because it probably feels like, you know, I look at what you've done and I go, wow, you scaled that fast and you implemented a lot in a short amount of time. So tell everyone where you started and what your position is now. And, you know, there's so many people that want to elevate their career. How did you do it?
Yeah, so I actually love this question because for me, I have three young girls, you know, because Gia's here this weekend. And yeah, I love that they understand that if you want something, anything, you can have it. If you want to go to the moon in a spaceship, you can. You could absolutely do that. If you want to be a millionaire by 30, you can absolutely do that. Whatever you're dreaming about, you can have it. And it's not about manifestation or all of these things. It's about one step into that direction. Mm. I'm terrible at drinking water, like the worst. So I bought a new drink bottle this year. I'm putting bottles in front of me. I'm buying water. I'm trying my best to get better at being hydrated, because not really for my body, which I should be doing, it's for my skin. I'm like, you want to look good, you got to be hydrated. So, you know, I put the water all around the house. It's accessible everywhere, and that's my one step. So CPR is the same thing, you know. When I started as a BDM 6 years ago, it wasn't even a plan I had. My sister saw the ad on Seek, and she said, oh, I've just seen an ad for a BDM in your area, in Newcastle. You should totally go for that job. I was like, huh. Yeah, I did used to want to be a BDM when I was a hairdresser. I've been a musician now for a couple of years. Yeah. I actually was a single mum at the time, had zero savings. Also, I was renting in a little house in Mayfield, like in the middle of, like, it's kind of like the new town of Newcastle.
It's a great way to describe Mayfield.
Yeah. It's like a grungy, like, fabulous
area. It's gentrified. It's cool. But it has old and new.
I was living in a tiny little shack with my three children, beautiful glass paned windows. I was, you know, living the dream. Did not think about going for a BDM role at all.
Yeah.
Went for the BDM role, charmed the pants off Cass, and then got the job, obviously. Started with CPR just on the road, doing my sales thing. I could, you know, sell ice to Eskimos, so that was really easy for me. I managed to work the role around three children and, you know, all of my music was still going in the background. I'd just released an album, so it was like go time for touring. So I was touring on the weekends, going all over the country with Catherine Breit. I was doing it all. Like, the
I went to school with her.
The musician. Did you?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, so she's a really school. Good friend of mine.
Oh, so that's so
we
funny.
We went all over the country. Like, I actually called Cass one weekend because I had a gig in, not Coonabarra Brand, but like way out, like past Dubbo, like way out. Anyway, and I said to him, do you think it would be all right if I actually drove the CPR car and I can go out and visit salons out there, you know, and try and bring a few accounts on? He's like, we don't normally, you know, send people that far. We don't want anyone to get tired, have an accident, you know. I was like, Cass, come on. I drive 17 hours to Tilba for a gig. I'm fine. So anyway, he said yes. And I went out there, brought on three new accounts, did a gig on the weekend and drove all the way back. You know, like, that was my BDM role. I was really proactive in getting, you know, a new community around me. I loved going out to Gunnedah. I brought on Sol, so one of our really amazing, wow, incredible accounts that have grown so fast, similar to CPR. They've just taken
you
off.
You scale together, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and they're actually, you know, going into a brand new space this year. They're doing really well. So I was really just proactively being this BDM, and COVID hit, and so we all got sent home. And because I'm previously a musician, I had all these technical skills that no one else had.
Yeah.
So I, the whole head office got shut down. So I was then in charge of running the social media, the marketing, all the training, the online digital Zooming. I had to teach the team first, then do it, then come up with all the slogans, the branding. And so I guess from there, Cass saw the potential in what I could do with, you know, a not so great situation with zero money from my kitchen table.
Yeah.
We curated our first photo shoot with Hair Candy because Queensland was in lockdown.
Yeah.
opened up the Circle magazine, did so many things during that time that it just skyrocketed my career into, okay, maybe you need to look at being in the marketing team. So we did a hybrid role for a year. After about a year, I said to Cass, look, I love going out and seeing my salons, but the marketing role is getting bigger than the BDM role, and I'm fearful that, you know, this hunter area will struggle if I'm not present. So we brought on Matt, one of our, my really good friends now.
He's a sweetheart.
He is so beautiful. And he went out there and killed it. And so then I was in the marketing role full time. And so then, yeah, it just went from strength to strength. I'm really good, like we were talking about before, I get a lot of purple patches. So I'm really good at coming up with ideas and being able to execute them with not so much time or money on my side, you know? So,
That is the core skill of an entrepreneur.
Yeah. Well,
which is very much how I view you.
Well, I've recently learned a new word.
Okay.
I have this great, fabulous friend who I met through CPR, Shaunin. Do you know Shaunin?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, so she told me, no, darling, you're an intrapreneur. And I was like, oh, what's that? And she said, well, it's somebody who works inside a business but is, you know, taking the business to new heights. And I was like, that is a fab word. I am an intrapreneur. Great.
You
got
are.
It. Yes. So, yeah, I'm an entrepreneur in my own life, but intrapreneur at CPR.
Tell me about your vision for the future. So, I mean, that's it. That's
ooh,
it.
Because I got shivers.
From starting as a BDM and then hybrid marketing, full marketing, and now creative director, okay, which is a hell of a responsibility for a brand.
Yes.
But no one is better suited for that role than you.
Oh, thank you.
You do that so, so well. I think you probably, you know, when you're in it, you don't see what it looks like from the outside.
Mm.
The energy you put into everything is always 110%. So I don't know how you sustain that. You have the ability to be agile and pivot. So when the ideas drop to you, you don't go, actually, inconvenient time, I'll hold on to it. You go, I see an opportunity, and you'll work through the night to make it happen.
Mm.
And there's very few people that can do it, sustain it, and absolutely love and thrive without burning out. So
I want to tell you, without sounding like it's a sad story, because it absolutely is not, I am incredibly grateful for my childhood, my upbringing, and my journey. However, I do think that having a tumultuous childhood and someone who went to 16 public schools and someone who had, you know, like a lot of people, a broken family, and, you know, I had a father die at a very young age. I had a mother who was incapable of caring for me. I do believe that this is where you either turn into this magical person who can turn on a dime, or, you know, the latter, which is not so great. You know, there's, I'm sure, so many people that would have ended up in a different situation.
Mm-hmm.
So I do believe that it comes from being able to adapt and being in a child situation where you have to adapt. So when something goes wrong, which it always does, we know there's things that happen.
Yeah.
And sometimes you've made the wrong choice or the wrong decision and things happen. I can turn that into something new very easily. And I feel like that has come from growing up in so many different schools, living, you know, in so many different homes, and having the agile, like, attitude to, you know, do, okay, we can't do that, can we do this, you know, and move into the next space, whatever that might be. So the future of CPR, what does that look like? I actually really couldn't tell you, because I can tell you that, okay, I want to take the company global. We're working on that right now. So I know that's happening. That's in the works. The rebrand has, you know, really been something that I'm so super proud of, and something that I feel like is able to take us into the next dimension of hair industry, whatever that looks like. I feel like there's a lot of room for growth in our manufacturing, in the way we develop products, in the products that are coming out. You know, there's so much room for growth. I believe that bringing on new people all the time brings on new ideas, new, you know, new memories, new energy, yeah. new people that bring something that I can't bring. I believe that, you know, like, I've brought my wife into the company recently, and
but it's like she was always here, I and know. She just seamlessly, oh my God, Genevieve, can we shout out Genevieve?
Yes.
She's amazing.
She is amazing, but she is also one of those superhumans who have all of these different talents.
She's a graphic designer.
Yeah, let's see if we can name her. She's a graphic designer. She is an ex-sign writer. She is a musician also. She is a training and development specialist. Now, I've got that wrong, I know I do, but we'll ask her later.
Yeah.
But she worked for the government for many years doing that. She also has the ability to, you know, create something out of nothing. Yeah. she's running our whole sales team. So, yeah, it's a mammoth job in itself. You know.
She's amazing at team morale and culture.
Yeah.
So what I've noticed in the time that I've worked with Genevieve is her approach to whatever problem-solving piece or maybe not problem-solving, but, like, you know, whatever task she's asking someone to do, the way that she asks for it to be done is so affirming and positive, and it's painting the picture of the potential at the end, not going, can you just do the task?
Yeah, she's so intellectually in tune with, well, many things, vocabulary. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, she can pull a word out of the blank air, and I'm like, what does that mean? She's so smart, and it's not that she went to uni or studied a long time. It's her own ability to retain information, but also I think the government thing really gave her that streamlined red tape that you have to step through every time, and you have to be diligent and, you know, politically correct and all of the things that has made her so invaluable to this company, because she really notices if there's something up.
Yeah.
If there's something wrong, she's like, okay, here's the problem. It's like she's HR as well. Here's the problem. This is how we're going to fix it. This is the team members that we need to fix it, you know.
Yeah.
Or, you know, she's just so good at everything.
She really, really is. Oh, yeah, she's incredible.
We've also just brought on a much bigger team for me, you know. So we've got Casey's moved up into, she was actually contracting for us for a long time. So she's moved into brand manager position. She's doing an incredible job. So we've brought a full-time social media manager on, which is, you know, been a huge relief, because we were trying to manage all different people, and it's just too much work for one person to do that.
Yeah.
So now Casey is, you know, looking after that. We brought on some incredible BDM, some incredible team members who have the same passion that Cass and I have for this company and for the industry. So it really does come down to the people. You know, what happens in the future, it's all up to the people we've just put in.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is incredible, because who knows what's going to happen. There could be another person that's in their BDM role right now that turns into somebody like me that can really shape something different. I don't know. It's going to be great. Let's see.
We had this chat yesterday, and it was about spotting talent kind of just before it hits the surface of, I don't know, like, gross visibility in the market. And you, again, like, I love that you do that.
I do.
I think that, you know, like, what's great about CPR is you find young talent and embrace it and bring it into the community and give them the confidence. And it doesn't matter the level of experience that they have with their stage work or whatever. And if there's imperfections, that's part of the beauty, because
it really is.
Yeah.
I absolutely love that. Bringing Tom Moore out last year, you know, I think that it's so important to... Someone actually said this to me, oh, nobody in London even knows who Tom Moore is. You know, what did you bring him out here for? Obviously, they were English, and that was the worst English accent I've ever done. So I can do better. Anyway. Anyway, I said, isn't it incredible? Like, his talent alone is, like, mind-blowing. Mm-hmm. And it's incredible that he was so green at our event, because I watched him since then grow into such an incredible artist who's gone to New York, he's gone to Berlin, he's educated back here in Australia again this year at Mama West. he's just like strength after strength after strength. And I feel like that is where the heart of CPR lies, is we don't need to, you know, hang on to these star ambassadors or do this thing where you're constantly trying to get the bigger name or whatever it is. I think the community respect and love that we are all human, and that, you know, Caprice as an apprentice is in our mod squad this year. She's a first year, I think. Second year?
Really?
She's very young. She's going to be on stage tomorrow with the mod squad. So, you know, it's that in itself is empowering the next generation. And that is so important, because if other apprentices can see, how did she win this award? Now she's on stage. She's almost creating her career in hair. How, if she can do that, I can.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's like I was saying before, anyone can do whatever they want if they really put their mind to it and they really want it. I love Shakira so much. She has such a similar attitude to me and very positive. She was on her stories, I think it was yesterday, and she said something about how she couldn't believe that she's being flown across the country to speak in front of all these people. And, you know, she's a hairdresser and she just had a dream. But she goes after everything she wants. Yeah. She wants something. She wants to know someone. She calls them. She DMs them. She emails them. She gets to know them so that she can have the opportunity. You know, it's, she just got flown to Ireland with Forrest a couple of weeks ago. You know, like how incredible that somebody has that drive to just go out and, hey, my name's Shakira. Here I am.
So, you know, impressive.
Impressive.
Yes. So impressive. Impressive.
When I grow up, I want to be like Shakira. Yeah.
Another observation that I've made over the time that I've worked with you guys is, and it's a saying that I bring it into myself, that like no one is your competition. So the collaborations that you guys do, it's not about, you know, what brand a person is associated with now or previously. It's just about you and I share values and you are a great part of our community. And it doesn't really matter what it looks like on paper or what, like, there's just a really healthy collaboration. And I don't know of any other brands that are, you know, brave enough to, you know, let their guard down and be like, you know what, we can work with anyone and everyone, and there's no boundaries.
It's, we call it our ecosystem, right? And I have had experiences where people have said no to me. I can't come and do this show because I'm with a brand. This is my brand partner, and that is totally fine. I get that, you know, respect there, but I'll find a way around it. I had this, you know, similar situation 2 years running with, you know, guest speakers that have a brand partner who they have to, that's their role. But of course, they're the ambassador, you know, they've got to do that. They've got to speak that language. They're not, you know, to speak any other language, because otherwise, you know, why are you there? But I'll find a way around it. And I think that's the thing we were talking about before, about I can turn on a dime, I can find something else that will fit that person. And the reason we want to bring these people in is not because we want to change their mind or change their brand, or, you know, I'm more than happy for them where they are and love that for them, that they're getting such success there. The reason I want to bring those people in is because they've affected me somehow.
Yeah.
I had a genuine connection with that person, or I've genuinely admired what they're doing in the industry. So I really want to bring them in to educate our community about how they're doing it and how we can also do it, you know. Like, so it really is something that I'm passionate about. It's kind of a bit hippie and woo-woo again, but it's like that free loving thing, you know. Like, you don't ever, like for me, you know, when there's a younger musician, you don't ever not tell her who books the gig. You know, you share all the information. I actually had this group that I was a part of, a female singing group called Woman Enough, and we used to send out every year to young girls the whole list of all of the festival bookers, so they could at least apply, at least try, you know, at least try and get yourself on there, because no one else, they hold it like it's, you know, their diary from when they're 16 or something. it's not going to hurt you. Everybody, there's space for everybody.
Nobody is your competition.
No one. No. If you stay in your lane and focus on what you're good at, you will kill it no matter what other people are doing.
There's always enough space in the market. And if you're not seeing that space, you're not thinking creatively and you're...
Yeah.
Yeah, you're not in your lane.
I feel like that for everything, right? So I feel like when people say, oh, you don't want to get into homewares or jewellery, there's just, it's saturated. No.
I
can do jewellery differently.
Yeah, or, it's a point of difference. Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
It's me, though, and I'm going to choose this rather than that. It's going to be a different jewellery company, for example.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I truly believe there's space for everyone and no one should be holding someone back from succeeding in their career. So if there are brands out there that are sort of stopping people doing something that's going to bolster them, it's a bit silly.
Yeah.
Because it actually helps, you know. I feel like Amy Egan has recently gone to Paris and done a lot of overseas international trips. And, of course, there's other brands, you know, around. She's entered competitions where, you know, other brands are there sponsoring it. Or, like, you go, girl. I am so proud of her, and how far she's come is incredible. Why would we try and stop that?
Absolutely. It's so short-sighted to be like, okay, we need exclusivity.
Mm.
In a market that has so many different offerings, right? Mm,
yeah. And also, how are they going to, you know, if that's the career path they're choosing, how are they going to make more money from that career path without the notoriety or the people knowing them?
You know? Yeah.
And yeah, I truly believe that.
Can you give us any hints or teasers as to something that might be planned for later this year so everyone can, you know, be on the journey with you as you grow and scale, because there's going to be some exciting stuff happen.
Of course, yes. We do have some new products coming, which is always exciting.
Yeah.
But I guess the most exciting thing that's going to come out of this weekend for me is the Salon 2027. I know it's like way a year in advance, but I'm constantly planning a year in advance, yeah. 2 years in advance, 3 years in advance. So yeah, I feel like in the next few days all will be revealed. But yeah, the next event that we host again is going to be very different than this one.
Bigger and better and
always. That's what we're aiming for.
Yeah. Nat, thanks so much for your time. I love chatting with you.
I love chatting with you too. You're the best.